11/28/89, interview with James Porter, Counseling Center, Michigan State University. And if you would begin with that first page which says my name is, this is just to identify the beginning of the, so that I know who you are.
Okay. My name is James Porter. I'm 19 years old, and I'm a sophomore at Michigan State University. My major is theater. My home address is 3705 Cullen Road, and that's in Howell, Michigan, 48843.
Fine. If you would begin just by describing where you grew up, that is your hometown, what the street looked like, a physical description of the house, whether there was a grocery store on the corner, et cetera, et cetera. Just in your mind's eye, give me as if I were watching the beginning of a movie.
Okay. I grew up in a town called Heartland. It's a very small town. It's a farming community. I lived in one house all my life, and we had 35 acres. We still do. It's this big brown house. It's a farmhouse, two stories. And my parents bought it when I was maybe about less than a year old. And it was an old farmhouse. It's approximately 130 years old. And they did a lot of renovations on it. And there's a big fireplace in there. It's very antique looking. Very, very farm antique.
Did you do any farming on it, or did your dad?
Yeah, a long time ago, we had pigs. We had a female pig and a male pig. We named them Charlotte and Wilbur, after, you know, Charlotte's Web, and piglets. And we had chickens and ducks. But that sort of ended because the barn that we had burned down one night in a storm, and it killed most of the livestock that we
had. Struck by lightning?
That's what we imagine, yeah.
Can you describe what your... Are your father and mother alive?
Oh, yes, they are.
Can you give me a little bit of their background, what your father does or did, and likewise for your mother?
Okay, my father... Well, both my parents grew up in Wyandotte, Michigan. They met there, and they got married there, and then they moved to Pontiac, and then they moved out to Heartland. My dad is a... chief civil engineer for Oakland County, in charge of the water department. So he doesn't work in the sewers, but he works, I suppose you say, with people who work in the sewers. My mom, for the most part of my growing up, she has, you know, just been a housewife. But until lately, she's been going from job to job. She's now secretary at a construction company, and it seems like their main job, though, is they're involved in this organization called Worldwide Marriage Encounter. It's for Catholic couples who are married, and you know, how to keep the relationship going through communication. That's the big thing, and dialogue. And they spent the most of their time is spent with that group.
Are you talking about activity spent outside of the, for example, your father's work? Is this work that your father does outside of his job?
Outside of his job. I mean, my dad just is the basic 9-to-5.
Well, do you run retreats there on your grounds for Catholic couples?
Sort of. They have meetings. Yeah. At my house, a lot of meetings. Like, usually the retreats are held at a church, but like weekends after those retreats, they have what are known as post-encounter meetings, and the couples who went on a weekend, as they're so called, come and they, you know, tell all the other couples, you know, what happened and how they can continue the dialogue process, you know, throughout their lives. So my parents were like presidents, the executive team for like 4 years in the the Livingston County area.
So you're Catholic, I take it?
Yeah.
Practicing Catholic, or?
I'd like to be, but it just doesn't feel right.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
Yes. I've got,
Can you talk a little about them, how many, what they do, if they're older or younger?
Okay. I've got two older brothers and one older sister, so I'm the baby of the family. They're 6, 7, 8 years older than I am. The next oldest is Mike. He just graduated from General Motors Institute with a degree in electrical engineering, and he's working for American Sunroof Company.
American Sunroof?
Sunroof, yes. And he, I guess you could classify him as the yuppie of the family, because he's really into making the money and acquiring all these fancy little gadgets, you know, fast cars. He half owns a boat. And he's doing very well in what he's doing. The next older is my sister, Karen. She is married, I think, 2 years now, and she lives down in Florida, Fort Myers, around that area. And they're building a house near Orlando right now, but they live in Fort Myers. And she and her husband have this sort of little cabinet-making shop. They make kitchen cabinets, pedestals, a lot of carpentry stuff. They really enjoy that. And my eldest brother is Eric, and he lives down in Arlington, Texas. And he is he manages the Key West Grill down there. He's in food management. It's what he went to in college, and it's what he's been doing.
How about your father's response to the different vocational directions that each of you has taken? Obviously, your brother, Mike, did you say?
Mike.
Who graduated from GMI is certainly following in your father's footsteps in terms of sticking with the technological field.
Yeah.
And you have gone to the opposite extreme, and I was just wondering, is this something that he tolerates, or if he tolerates it, does he do it with some misgiving, and does he think that you offer on some fantasy-filled trip? Or?
Well, he treats all of us pretty much the same. He doesn't mind what we do. I mean, he's glad that at least one of us followed in his footsteps. He doesn't show it, but we tend to know that. But he's very supportive of what we do. And he doesn't really, not like what I'm doing, you know, going into acting. And his main concern is as long as I'm able to support myself after I get out of college. That's his main concern.
And how about your mother's reaction to this? I know that in any family, I've never seen a family in which usually one of the children is, quote, a star in the eyes of the parents, and the others don't quite measure up for whatever subjective reasoning may be involved. But how does your mother, does she have more or less the same attitude that your father has towards your vocational directions?
Pretty much. I think she's more excited about what I'm doing, because she used to act in high school, and she knows what it feels like, and she loves to, like, tell everybody, you know, if I'm being successful in something, she tends to tell everybody, you know, proud of me. And she's not the typical, stage mother who just totally moves me in that direction. She lets me go.
Can you talk a little bit about where your dream of becoming an actor started, whether the inspiration came from a teacher or a high school play, or what was it that drove you from other fields towards acting? Maybe that didn't occur. Maybe it wasn't a question of being driven from one thing to another. Maybe you just focused in on that at an early age.
Yeah, I think I did focus in on it. I think it was right around the fourth grade where a friend of mine told me to audition for a community players show, The Princess and the Pea. It's a children's show. And I auditioned, and at first I got a part of, like, a page. But later the villain had to drop out, and I was boosted up to that role. And just ever since then, I've been amazed at how different being in theater is from actually, well, I don't know, but it seems like it's a lot different than being an accountant or any other more intellectual type jobs.
What have you ever tried to analyze what it is in acting which appeals to you, aside from saying that it's different from being an accountant? What is it that happens to you when you get up on that stage and start to perform?
I think for me it's the recognition, knowing that I'm able to do something and people see that. Because if they were able to act, they would be up on stage. But they're not. I am. And so I feel that in that aspect, I'm being recognized for something that I can do. And a lot of times when I go out on stage, there's like a certain rush, a surge of emotions that just happen. I may call it nervousness or butterflies or whatever. But it's just being able to, it's not exactly being somebody else than yourself, but rather portraying yourself and finding out about yourself while you are being recognized and while you are giving enjoyment to other people.
Are you telling me that as you play other roles, you learn more about yourself?
Mm-hmm. I just started to learn about that a couple years ago, because I got into this rut of trying to play other people, but something didn't feel right, and so I started to put myself more into the roles, and certain things would come out that would really shock me about myself, and I'd say, well, I didn't know I would do that.
Can you give me an example of a role that you played where you did that?
Okay. Just this past November, this month, we did a show up here called Noises Off. And I was the part of the stage manager. And that was very difficult for me, one, because I've never been really... Well, I have been a stage manager before, but not... It was in a children's show, and the show that Noises Off is a show about these actors putting on the show. And in the second act, I had to suddenly control everything, because everything in the show, within the show, is going wrong, and it's up to me to keep it together. And I noticed some of the emotions that came out and some of the things that I did that I thought would never come out of me at certain times. So I felt more angered. I felt more powerful. And usually, I hide that in. And it really shocked me to find out that, I have power and I have the capability to become very angry with people if things don't go right.
There is the stereotype of the actor as a person who somehow cannot release his emotions normally in general life and does this effectively on stage, that the stage has become an outlet for his emotions.
I think maybe that's true in a sense that we purge so much of our emotions on stage that in order to be normal and do it off stage, which just seems so redundant and boring, and it just doesn't, it gets exhausting. And so we just tend to hide ourselves off stage.
Here's a question for you. If you regard acting as a learning process about yourself, is it conceivable that you could reach a point where you had learned enough about yourself where you would then discontinue your acting and then enter into something, another activity with this increased knowledge. Do you see what I'm asking?
Yeah, but I don't know if anybody can ever, like, learn enough about themselves.
What the example you gave was, you realized of this, you were playing the role of a stage manager, you realized that you had a capability of expressing yourself on an emotional level, which you did not realize before, but playing this role convinced you that there was a side of you that was strong and emotional and that could come out.
Right.
If you made a number of realizations of that type, then you might conclude that you had really a number of capabilities for actually doing something else in life, which might drive you away from acting.
I'm sure that could be possible. I mean, I don't feel that way now.
We're getting a little too far afield. I was just shooting from the hip here. Jumping away from acting for the time being, tell me a little bit about your high school, the size of the high school, what courses you took there, and how well you did.
Okay. I went to Heartland High School. It's a Class A school, about maybe 4,000 students. It was big, but it wasn't as big as all the other schools in our area. The courses were pretty much college prep courses. In high school, I really enjoyed the math courses. Everybody thought I was a bit weird because of that. But I took algebra, trigonometry, geometry, calculus.
Why did people think that was weird?
Because I find math fun, rather than most people find it something they have to do, something that's not really a lot of fun. But it had a certain... The process of trying to come up with an answer using logic really intrigued me. And
did you do well in your courses?
Yeah. I graduated 11th in our class.
And how many were in the class?
270.
And your major was, or was this?
There really was no major. Yeah. I mean, it was pretty much, there was a set amount of courses that you had to take. You had to take math, social science, biological science, English.
How about most of the people that went to school there? Were these the sons and daughters of farmers, professionals, a mixture? What?
It was a big mixture. There were professionals. I think more middle-class students were there. People, you know, whose mothers and fathers, you know, just worked. And there tended to be a few rich people there, and a few poor, and a lot of people who grew up on a farm. So it was a blending.
How about the ethnic breakdown? Blacks, Hispanics, other minority groups?
It was the majority was white. We had maybe only 3 blacks in the whole school, and maybe a couple Indians. But other than that, majority it was white.
Did you find high school challenging? If so, why? If not, why?
I don't think it really was too challenging, because, I mean, other than the math, nothing really intrigued me, and I tended to, you know, go through all my other courses, just, okay, reading the assignment, understanding it, and being able to spit it out when tests came around. And we had no really, like, the only challenges I see in life so far, I mean, right now, is the theater, and that wasn't really offered in high school. And so at times, it got kind of boring.
I get this reaction from a lot of people. I guess you're about almost the 30th person I've interviewed, and no one, with the exception of possibly one or two students, has found high school to be challenging. And I wonder what sort of responsibility does the high school student have to create his own challenge? The books are there, the teachers are there, questions can be asked. Analyze for me the reaction that you're giving me, which is it wasn't too challenging. What does that say about you or about your parents or the society?
I think it means maybe that we are not aware, the students, of exactly what is there for us. I think we just see high school as 4 years that we have to go through. We see it more of it as a social gathering. And I think it's maybe up to, you know, the teachers more to make us understand that there's all this information that will benefit us. And if we could find that challenge in high school, then I think college would be a lot easier for us.
What percentage of the class went on to college, approximately, from your high school? Any idea?
I know the only statistic I ever heard was that 60% of those who did go on to college from our class came here to Michigan State. So, and that was a lot of people. So I'd imagine maybe about 60% of that, of the entire class.
Did you have a choice of getting into other schools?
I had a choice. I mean, I could have applied to other schools, but Michigan State was the only one I applied to. Just figured that it had what I wanted, and it was close by, and...
Did you do well on your SATs?
I don't think I took the SAT. I think I took the ACT.
ACTs or whatever?
Yeah, at State, the SAT is not required. But yeah, I was above average on my ACT score.
I'm sure you had one perception of your intelligence when you were in high school based on who you were competing with, the quality of your teachers, the courses you took, etc. And that must have changed when you came to college and suddenly found yourself in the midst of 10,000 freshmen. Could you talk about the change that you went through in terms of being forced to have a different understanding of your own intelligence, adapting to the hugeness of this campus, etc.?
In high school, I was aware that, you know, I had some talent, and I was pretty smart, and I was able to influence the school. I was elected senior class vice president. I had a lot of ideas that I incorporated. And then when I got to college, I mean, trying to, you know, be a leader of 270 is a lot different than trying to lead 10,000. And I knew that, I mean, personally, I wouldn't have the time, or I don't think I'd have, you know, the dedication in college to, you know, take any office of any kind to try and, you know, be a student voice or whatever. But when I got to college last year, it was a bit overwhelming. Not overwhelming as some people may say for me. I adjusted to it. I found out that I am a small person compared, you know, to all these other people. You know, I don't stand out. And I had to sort of, you know, sink a little in order to adjust to that. Because I guess I didn't want to be singled out somehow. Just had to say.
What do you mean by that? You didn't want to be singled out?
I didn't singled out as in maybe labeled in a way.
Well, doesn't that occur when you choose a major, when you have an association of certain friends? when you join a fraternity or whatever, or you just choose roommates, or
that's true.
Don't you become labeled in that process?
Yeah. I guess what I'm trying to say is that I didn't want to be labeled too soon. I really didn't want people to know about me, know who I was or where I came from, just right off the bat.
Not sure I understand. Certainly you were willing to tell people about your background, weren't you? Or was that information that you, the fact that you came from a relatively small community in mid-Michigan or wherever it is?
Yeah.
Was there something in your background which you weren't happy with?
Yeah. I think everybody has something that they really tend to like hide that they don't want other people knowing. And I guess...
For example. Shoot yourself back to freshman year.
I guess through that time, I was going through a period of... I was trying to find myself, and I became very religious orientated. And during my senior year, I had this friend, and he and I became really close, and things happened that just forced me. Well, pretty much what he did was he really ruined the trust between us. He did something that he said he was going to do, but he didn't. Something that was very important, and it taught me, really not to trust, other people too much. And during my freshman year, we were still friends, and we would go out, go out to, certain places, and, people in my hall would ask, who's he, blah, blah, blah. And I would just say, oh, just a friend. Because I didn't want anybody to know about what happened. I think I don't want to trust people with personal, intimate feelings like I did with this friend, and have the fear that they might totally blow it off and hurt me somehow.
I understand, but so do you want to pursue this further? I'm perfectly willing to, if you want to get into this, what it was that caused this falling out with your friend, or what conflict you really felt.
I think I'd rather not.
Rather not.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. We'll take another tack then. Okay, so let's get back to this a question of a freshman year and the change that you made from high school. Tell me a little bit about dorm life. The insanity of it, everything from the water fights to the problems of adjusting to crazy roommates whom you're just thrown together with in a haphazard way.
I found the dorm life very insane. That's why I'm living off campus this year. The floor that I was on, I think I was just misplaced altogether. Being a theater major, they placed me in the Lyman Briggs section, which is in Holmes Hall. And it's biological science. So you've got two totally different fields. And at the beginning of the freshman year, we were tripled. There was two other guys in my room. One guy named Ron, who I got along with, because we had the same interests in music, and we both like sports. And another roommate who just seemed very wild, I suppose you might call it, as so did the rest of the floor. And I think because of those guys and because of our suite mates, I was exposed to a lot of things that I haven't been exposed to before, coming from a farming community, a small town, all the pressures.
For example?
There was a lot of drugs on the floor, a lot of drugs.
What kind of drugs?
Just mainly, marijuana and pot. I never took it myself, but there were a couple times when I was actually there, and they would be passing it around. Alcohol as well. I mean, I started, you know, to drink last year.
Had you ever drunk before?
Never. So that's one of
so
the.
So, what was the attitude of your parents with respect to alcohol, and how did that attitude affect what you did when you came to college?
Well, I think their attitude is more or less just let them go. They feel that they've raised good children, and I limit myself and whatever. With drinking, and it's not like all the time, occasionally on social occasions. And I mean, just this past weekend, Thanksgiving, I mean, they offered me some wine at dinner. I think that in turn means that, you know, they probably know, you know, that there is the pressures of drinking up here and that I am being affected by it, but they know that I can handle it. And I think I can.
How about your roommates and the people on the floor? Did they demonstrate an ability to handle it, or were they lying drunk on the floor at 3 a.m.?
That's an accurate description of what was going on. It was like party time.
Give me a description of this debauchery, this release from your parents' bondage, this sudden urge to be on your own, to do what you want. That's what's happening, isn't it? These mm-hmm. people are being let out of jail. Jail being the first 18 or 19 years with their parents.
Right. Yeah, that's how I felt. But I knew not to take it too far. I would, like for example, I only did this once. I dropped a course without them knowing it. I dropped in time in order to get some money back. And since they're paying for my college, and so instead of sending the money home, you know, I took it and, you know, went out, bought some CDs and a sweatshirt or so, and just without not telling them, because I didn't think they needed to know. And when my mom did find out, she was like, oh, okay, we won't tell your father about this, because if he found out, he'd hit the roof.
He's the disciplinarian in the family?
Pretty much so, yeah. And he, as I said before, is very concerned on how I manage my money, whether or not I'll be able to support myself. And he would just look at that and just like, he's never going to make it. But in other aspects, like, you know, the drinking, they never really knew. Or if they did know, they didn't know it from me.
So are you still working through this? Is this something that it'll take two more years to figure out? What's happening? That sometimes some people never get through it. They go to college and become alcoholics. They're still alcoholics 40 years later. Have you found your limits? Do you know where they are?
Oh, yes. I mean, I have no problem at all with it. I mean, that's, you know, one of the things that have... You know, I have discovered about myself, you know, where I can say stop. And I just know that there are certain things that are not right, like drinking and driving and knowing when somebody's too drunk what to do.
So how did you react to this other crazy roommate who you are asleep, getting ready for tomorrow's exam, and he comes in and with his six friends, half drunk at 2 a.m.? How did you respond to that?
I pretty much ignored it.
How can you ignore that?
It's hard to do, but you sort of have to. I'm sort of a passive type of person in that aspect, in which I don't want to start something. Start an argument or whatever. And I would just roll over in my bed and just ignore it.
Would that happen? The thing I described?
Oh, yeah, it happened a couple of times. I mean, he came home and he came home with this other friend who I also knew. They were just totally being obnoxious. And to a point, you have to ignore it, and then to a point, you've got to, like, go along with it, like, to whatever they're saying, like, yeah, yeah, you're right, sort of not make them, you know, because if you disagree with them, then they'll keep coming back, and then you have no chance of ignoring them, and it just got totally rowdy until I just, you know, I couldn't take it anymore. I just said, I'm going to bed, and just rolled over.
Your memory of freshman year in the dorm. What dorm were you in?
Holmes Hall.
Holmes. Are there, do you have a memory of any specific incidents that were humorous or that were particularly obnoxious that you would care to relate? Any good water fights? Anything absurd that also was humorous?
We did tend to, oh, okay. We had, I forget what it was called. It was like a giant slingshot, and it was attached, it was like this rubber attached to these, I want to say polyurethane poles or something like that, or plexiglass type poles, and we would tend to, fill up these water balloons, and sometimes we'd put them in the freezer and wait a day or so, and you have these ice balloons. And you just shoot him out of the window. And I remember this one time.
I could damn near kill somebody, couldn't I?
Yeah, yeah. But with the ice ones, we tended to shoot up more rather than shoot directly. But the window in our room was facing like the inner courtyard, and there's this walkway. And I remember my other two roommates had this thing set up, and one of the RAs, the resident assistant, started walking, but they didn't know it, that she was an RA, and so they threw one, and it just hit her right in the face.
An ice balloon?
No, a water balloon. And then she's like, you know, who are you guys? What are you doing? And then I had this thing. It was like a horn that I had gotten from the Renaissance Festival a couple of years ago. And Ron just took it off the wall and started blowing it at her. And it made this like really obnoxious horn sound. And so she came up. And by that time I had left. Sean, the other roommate, was about to leave, and she came up and rolled them both up. That was really funny, because I was just like just able to get out of there before she came up.
And being written up meant?
Well, there's like a board and this panel, and if they review the case, why they were written up, and if they see it as a disciplinary problem, they would take the people involved and put them in front of like a court, and they would decide what to do with them. So it was sort of like more of like, you know.
Were your roommates punished?
No. No. I guess the board didn't see it as something really bad.
That would have been an ice balloon. You would have been punished.
Probably. Probably.
Were the conditions overly crowded? Did you have two roommates? Was this a triple?
Yeah, the rooms are really for only two people, but we had three. And I guess it's because our class, the freshman class coming in last year, was such a huge class. I mean, there were like maybe like three other rooms on the floor who were also tripled. And I mean, I had encountered this in high school where our class was the biggest class. And then you get to here, and it's so huge. So, yeah, crowding was a problem. Especially at mealtime in the cafeteria.
Do you have all of your basic courses out of the way, or are you still taking general ed courses?
Oh, I'm still taking general education, yeah. I might be taking general education until I'm a senior. Just the way the theater courses are also set up.
Can you evaluate for me the quality of the instruction here, the size of the classes, whether that has been inhibiting in some way, what you think of the basic requirements too, how you compare these classes and the homework assignments to what you had in high school?
Oh, well, about the classes, I mean, I see a big problem in the theater classes, because it doesn't seem that the department is trying to benefit us as theater majors, but rather to accommodate outside theaters, because they're offering all these courses where anybody can take it. And even in the majors only sections, there are a few non-theater majors. Like, we have a couple in that class right now, and it gets very frustrating and difficult to work with somebody. I mean, especially in this class I'm taking now with Joyce, where you are already expected to know which is downstage, which is upstage, and when she has to go over that again for the couple of people in the class who've never heard of this before, it really takes the time from us.
Upstage is further away from the audience, right?
Right, and downstage is closer.
So you're irritated that mixed in with the people are people who don't have the basic knowledge which you acquired several semesters ago, or whenever you acquired it.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, there are classes that are offered for them, but they should only be able to take those certain classes.
But how about your reaction to other classes, some of the general ed classes that you've had? Perhaps that you've been in several where they've had a TV monitor and 300 students in one room.
I haven't encountered that yet. It seems like all the classes I've taken so far have been pretty a fair size.
Meaning?
Well, there would be a lot of people in there, but the professor would be there.
How many, average?
I think the biggest, so I've had classes where there's maybe like 16 of us in there. Classes maybe there's for like 200, and then somewhere in between. But it seems to be, I mean, I don't find any problems with any of the general education classes that I've taken.
Did your grade point average drop from high school to college?
Yeah. I graduated with like a 3.7, and now I'm around a 3.2. So it dropped a little.
What's the honor roll, 3.5?
I think so, yes. 3.5.
Where do you see yourself in 10 years? Describe for me what you'll be doing, if possible.
I'm not sure. I think most likely I'll be single. And I'd be out of the state, I know that. You know, trying somehow.
You don't have any desire to settle down in the traditional way?
Not really, no. I mean, that'd be nice, but it seems like it'd be the easy way out. And I don't know if you really can, you know, in my field, just settle down. Because with all the different places that theater is being offered, there'd be a lot of moving, and I mean, to settle down, to start having a family, I don't think would be right.
Have you committed yourself to acting then? You're going to stick with that?
I've committed myself to theater, My main aspiration is to act, but I'd be happy doing other things related to theater, like technical-wise, directing, management.
Set design,
yes.
So, you can say with assurance that you've committed yourself to theater.
Yes.
And are you willing to travel anywhere to develop that interest within the United States?
Yeah, I think I am. If...
Does it have to be the big time in New York, or would you settle for a place like Lansing, which, incidentally, is very good in terms of the performing arts?
It is. It really is.
If you compare it to cities of similar size.
I think maybe, though, after 4 years of being in East Lansing, I'd want to get out. But, I mean, New York would be great. I could go to either like Atlanta or Seattle. I really don't want to go into film or television, though.
I sense in you something of the rebel, in spite of the fact that you come from a family which is, quote, traditional in many ways. I sense in you a person who is going to go against the grain in a lot of ways. Is that accurate? If so, can you talk about that in any way?
Yeah, I think I am like that. In high school, I mean, once I got to be senior vice president, all hell broke loose, pretty much. A lot of the traditions that were traditions, you know, I sort of thought, well, we can do something different, though. And up here, you know, I they say you have to look out for yourself. And I think I do. And being rebellious sort of gives me a reason to. I don't know if that makes any sense. I guess what I'm trying to say is that I would like to see changes, you know, changes, and also, you know, do new things in the university that have never been done before. And if I have that sort of power to be in charge of that, then I'd have the confidence and the will to shun anybody away who tries to take that away from me.
It's almost as if you're defining a position of power as one which is, by definition, adversarial. You are up here, and then you have your opponents down here, and they are struggling against you in some way. It's almost as if you're excluding a certain level of cooperation. Or am I distorting the picture too much?
I guess...
It's almost as if you're saying, once I reach that position of power, then, by definition, I will encounter hostile situations.
Well, I think you always, I mean, encounter that type. I mean, if you want to break a tradition, if you want to go against the traditionalists, there's always going to be those traditionalists. And I think you need to have the confidence in yourself and the power. And I think if you can think like that, it can help you. But I am excluding the cooperation aspect of it.
But getting back to where we were a few minutes ago, in 10 years, do you see yourself as a successful actor or somebody who has met with a measure of success in theater? Or is that just a general goal, or do you fantasize in a very specific way? I mean, do you close your eyes from time to time and see yourself taking the leading role in a Shakespearean play, or what? How to describe for me those fantasies that you've had with respect to your interests?
I think the greatest fantasy I ever had was just seeing myself in a new musical being the lead. And just everybody loving it. And that's pretty much the only fantasy I've ever had. I really can't see myself specifically where I am in 10 years. I guess generally I can see myself successful somehow, though.
You see acting, though, as a vocation which almost excludes a lot of conventional ways of living. Earning money in a traditional way, settling down in a traditional way, having a family in a traditional way. All of those things which are labeled middle class and American.
Mm-hmm.
You seem to be excluding because you have chosen theater, or maybe have you chosen theater as an excuse for excluding those things? Which way is it working here? Do you know what I'm asking? Are you looking for a vocation which enables you to be a nonconformist in these conventional ways? Or are you a nonconformist from the outset who finds theater to be genuinely interesting?
I think the latter. Yeah, I'm a nonconformist finding theater very interesting. I've never looked at it as, well, if I can rebel, I can do it in theater. I've never looked at it that way.
Theater attracts people who are offbeat, as opposed to Ford Motor Company.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't have any argument there, would we?
No.
If you're a junior executive in Ford, you eat at the appropriate cafeteria on the fifth floor and you wear a suit of appropriate nature and you talk to certain people in the hallway for a certain length of time. And you have shag carpet in your office, which is so thick, and a water cooler, which is chromium-plated as opposed to gold-plated if you're a senior executive, all the other crap. All of that you dispense with by being an actor, don't you? But what about the political games? What about the downside of acting, the incredible level of politicking that goes on, everything from the leading actress having slept with a director to get her part to, I mean, this endless intrigue going on because you have this incredible clash of egos, of artistic temperaments, each one of whom thinking that he or she is gifted and the best. How are you going to handle all that?
Well, I haven't actually encountered a lot of that stuff. I agree that there is that major clash of egos.
You do agree with my, at least one level of my perception.
Yes, and I think that, I mean, to be in theater, you have to have that feeling that you are the best. Because if you believe it yourself, and you go in an audition, other people can see that, that you have confidence in yourself, and that's what they look for. And, you know, here at Michigan State, there is a bit of the who you know aspect. The faculty members who are directors have their favorites. They tend to use their favorites. And sometimes if you really want to do a show and you're not the director's favorite, it gets frustrating because you feel a bit slighted. But that's, I guess you just have to deal with it.
You said your fantasy was, one fantasy you've had is to have a lead in a musical. Are you a good singer?
I'm not remarkable. I think I'm good.
What is your strong point in acting? If you had your choice of a particular type of acting, would you be a song and dance man? Would you be a Shakespearean actor? Would you prefer light Broadway comedy? What area?
I think I enjoy more the dramatic, but not the American contemporary, not the Shakespeare. The stuff.
Streetcar Named Desire.
Yeah. The more realistic, the now, the real life type shows. I mean, with musicals, there are different achievements, I think, rather than doing a drama in a musical. I think the achievement in the musical is, you know, being able to sing, being able to express this character through your voice and maybe through your feet. And in a drama, it's slightly different in which you have to express in a more confined. Because in a drama, if you all of a sudden start vocalizing your lines and just dancing away, it doesn't fit. So I think I like the dramatic more than anything else.
Are you enjoying college? Is it something to get through on your way to becoming a professional actor? A pain in the butt, sort of a basic apprenticeship that you're serving, or do you view it as a chance to explore, a chance to have some fun, blah, blah? Give me your overall evaluation of what college means to you in terms of its being a positive or negative experience.
I think it's a positive experience because it combines, you know, the ability to have fun, the academic, the exploring, you know, new avenues, learning things you've never known. I would have, no matter what, gone to college rather than just start out. One thing I was discussing today with Joyce about college is it seems like it's really unfair, though, that we have to do all this stuff, the academics, the new avenues, and grow up at the same time. I think college is unfair in the aspect is that we have to, you know, find out, you know, all these facts, all these different avenues, have fun, and grow up at the same time. Because we're sent out right after high school, and we're expected to live on our own, pretty much. Because our parents are not right there. And, I mean, especially with me living off campus, that's even more on my own where I have to pay the bills. And at the same time, I'm expected to deal with all my classes, all the homework, try to earn money in order to pay those bills, and be able to deal with all my personal problems all within a 24-hour period. And at times it gets very, very difficult and painful to do so. I mean, we're joking around that if college could be more of an 8-year system in which, or even 6 years, in which 2 years it's spent just on your own, you don't have to worry, you know, about classes or whatever. Just worry how to manage on your own and then dive into the classes.
Can't you do that though? Why not take 2 years, go from high school into the cold, cruel world and just live independently for a while? Work at a few odd jobs.
That's true. I mean, a lot of people do that. But it just seems like
You could drop out. You could drop out of school now, get a part-time job, and devote your energy to working at the Riverwalk Theater.
That'd be nice.
You could. They have auditions down there all the mm-hmm. time. It's an amateur group. They need people to help out with stage management. The other part of it would be you'd probably have to do something which was not highly skilled in order to support yourself.
Yeah.
I don't know what that would be.
Dishwashing. I've done that. I could do that, but I think, as I think many other people, I think the mainstream is that right after high school, you go into college. I think the majority of the population is being influenced in which we should just continue the education on.
Well, why do you have to conform?
I don't know.
Why do what the mainstream does? You're already deviating from the mainstream by selecting theater.
Mm-hmm. See, I don't know. I mean, it just seems like something that, I guess in a way, you really don't count. It's an accepted fact. I mean, I guess we accept it as going to high school. You have to go to high school. And the way society is today, pretty much, you have to go to college. Because after that, you know, I mean, if you don't go to college, then the likeliness of you being successful in a field is very low. Because a lot of places are looking for the college education. And it's...
But you could survive for a year. You could sell shoes or books or whatever it is and then get a tremendous amount of practice with one of the regional local theaters here, one of the amateur groups. Learn a tremendous amount. Taste what the theater world is like. Then come back to college. Hmm. Or would you fear the wrath of your father who would say, if you drop out now, you'll never go back?
I think it's more or less, yeah, the parental influence, the pressures from them. And also, I don't think I'd be able to do that, though.
Are you working now?
I work for the theater department. I'm in charge of the audio and visual equipment. It's maybe 10 hours a week.
What do they pay you, if I may ask?
I have a salary, $500 per term. So every other week, I receive a check that's approximately $100. So it's about $50 a week.
For 10 hours?
For 10 hours.
So it comes out to about $5 an hour then?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the going rate around campus, isn't it? Between $5 and $6 for many jobs?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Where were we? What are we trying to solve with this interview anyway? Is there a sense of humor in all of this? Is there any to all of this madness of living and growing up? And I mean, what's... I think it's the most difficult time of a person's life, from
yes.
about age 17 or 18 to your mid-20s.
Uh-huh. I mean, I'm finding it the most difficult time of life because I'm expected to deal with things myself.
Do you feel that you had a protected youth, that perhaps you were too sheltered at an earlier age?
I don't think so. I think it was more or less, you know, I was able to confront things, but those things just never came.
How can you confront something which doesn't come? I don't understand.
Well, meaning that I would, I mean, like, in comparison to, like, other people, like, I never was, had to worry about a divorce of my parents. I never had to deal with that. I never had to deal with a death in the immediate family. And...
But in terms of being able to do what you wanted to do, not continuously being monitored by your mother and father, who said, "Why weren't you in at 9:30 on Friday night? Why aren't you doing your homework this evening?" Maybe you didn't get any of that. Maybe you were. Were you free to, or did you always feel that your parents were there casting an eye on you?
I think they were more, I don't know, I think they were just right. Because they would watch me at certain times and then just let me go at others.
What really is at the heart of the problem you're experiencing and growing up? What's really the problem here?
I think it's trying to grow up and not be alone at the same time. Because in a college you meet a lot of new people, but you've only been friends for them maybe a year. I mean, I left most of my friends behind.
Have you developed close friendships here?
Maybe one or two.
Can you sit down with many people and talk with them as you're talking with me? In a direct, open, frank way about what it is that you're enjoying or what it is that's bothering you. How many people here can you, at this university, can you do that with?
Not very many. I don't think, maybe one or two, I can guess. But I'm not even really sure about that.
Do you go out with groups of people? Are you involved in extracurricular activities?
Last year, pretty much no. If I was in a play, I would be with those people a lot, the cast members, and we'd have cast parties and stuff like that. But like outside of that, no. But this term, I started going to a bar, a dance club, with some friends. And I'm finding that a new experience. Because you really can't talk in a bar because you can't hear the other person talking. And so it's more or less just being there with friends, dancing, sitting down, watching other people dancing. And at times you see things that affect you somehow. Like if you see a couple and maybe you've just broken up with your girlfriend, you sort of get a little depressed. But it was just maybe just a couple of weeks ago that I started, just going out with this a certain group of friends. It's a different experience. I can't say it's the best experience I've had. It's just different.
Yeah. I'm going to give you a complete transcript of this. I guess I told you that.
Yes.
And eventually take a few photographs, although not here because the setting is so... There's nothing here. It's just like an office.
Yeah.
And in 10 years, maybe you'll pick up this transcript if you haven't used it for sidewall insulation or something, and you'll read it. And what do you think your reaction will be based on the things you've told me so far?
Probably I'll say there's a guy who's so wrong about what he is. Because I'm sure within those 10 years, I'm going to change so much. I mean, the one thing I'm sure of is I will be in theater. But that's the only thing I can be sure of. I just think it's not going to be me in that transcript. The me from 10 years from now.
Well, if you're in theater... then you're really suggesting that you are going to make major changes in other areas in terms of what?
Personal feelings, morals, attitudes, friendships, relationships, just areas that are more personal and more intimate.
Any last parting shots to assure yourself of immortality on this tape?
Not that I can think of, no.
Can you deliver a section of a monologue that you like, or give me an example of one part of one play that appeals to you, a quote that runs through your mind?
Quote.
Or a monologue that you recently memorized.
Oh.
Any.
I don't know. I just reread for an audition, Equus by Peter Schaefer. It's about a young boy who blinds 6 horses, and he's sent to a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist is supposed to figure out what's wrong with this boy. In the process, the psychiatrist discovers that there are things wrong about him, himself. And one thing that he says is that he is expected to take these young people who have their own abnormalities, have their own self, have their own pain, to strip them away, strip those possessions away from them and make them normal like everybody else. And he just gets, you know, sick of it, because how can you be normal? It would be so uninteresting. And the one line in there, if I can remember it, is that everybody has his own pain, and that's what makes him their own self. You can't dive into a pool and say, so that's what that pain feels like. It's got to be your own pain. And I just found that very, very true.
That's very profound. It is, in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah.
I've never seen that play. I've always wanted to. Has this been helpful to you at all or not? Or is it,
I think it has.
Just going over old material?
No, it's made me, you know, think about things in my life.